Welcome to the Business Behind Your Business, conversations to help your business grow and thrive. Hi, I'm Paul Sweeney, founder of Pretium Solutions, chartered accountants and certified business advisors, hosting the Business Behind Your Business. Hi, I'm Paul Sweeney and welcome back to the Business Behind Your Business. We're now at the beginning of 2022 and it's been a time of, I guess, really unsettled time, a lot of change, a lot of uncertainty, and a lot of people have taken the time over the Christmas New Year period to sort of wind down, relax, just detox from all the digital. I know I have taken some time to get away from computers and phones and just, you know, spend time with family and just think about, you know, what is 2022 going to be like and what should I be doing different? What should my business be doing differently? And look, if you're a business owner, you're probably thinking a lot of those same things. So what I'd like to do in this episode of the Business Behind Your Business podcast is go through 10 ideas or 10 things to think about while you're thinking about your business. So, you know, if you're like me, when you sit down and you unwind, you start to think about things, you've got time to think, and you start to think about, well, how can I do my business better? How can I improve the way I run? How can I make more profit? Well, good. I guess 10 ideas of what we can do to improve the way that we run our business. And hopefully these will be thought-provoking or at least, So a spark which helps you choose some things that you can do, some action items that you can work on in your business to grow in 2022 and make this a much better year, more profitable and a more satisfying year for you as a business owner. So let's go right back to the beginning and look at, you know, is the time now to start a new business? Is it the right time to start a new business? So a lot of people in this December, January period, you know, when they've had a break, get an idea for a new business and think, well, is it the time to go into business? Now, I want to say at this point, don't rush off and start things up, get started without getting some advice, without doing some research first, because, you know, I deal with a lot of business owners that really they should not have gone into business. If they had talked to somebody, talked to their accountant or their business advisor before they started the business, they could have avoided a lot of heartache, a lot of unnecessary spending, a lot of financial expense by not starting their business. And the first step is really looking at, you know, is there a reason for your business to exist? You know, the business that you're looking to start, you know, is there a purpose? You know, is it going to solve a problem? Is it a viable idea? Look, there's a lot of ideas out there about selling online through Amazon and affiliate marketing. Yeah, there are thousands and thousands of articles out there or thoughts out there, videos, all telling you that you can start a business with minimal effort. Now, that's not always the case. The people you see running businesses with minimal effort have spent the hours before they started, before the launch. They've spent the hours building a product, building a process, building a brand to get to that point where they can run seemingly on 4 hours a week or one day a week or less time the week than what you can imagine. And that's not the case for most small businesses. So the question you need to ask is, do you have the financial capacity to get started in business? Do you have enough resources available? Because there will be a time that you will have to, you know, commit to setting up your business where you won't be getting income from it. Do you have the financial capacity to see you through that period? Do you have the time to commit to it? Are you looking to set up your business on the side and still working? Do you have the time to commit to setting up that business, or is it just going to be a hobby? What other resources are you going to need? A lot of people don't think through this issue. And look, I mentioned that whole idea of, you know, should you start a business? Is it a viable business? And unfortunately, I've had too many discussions with business owners where we've come to the conclusion that there is not a market for their product. It's a great idea. It does solve a problem, but only for a handful of people. So there is not a market available, a financially profitable market for their product at this point. It may well be in the future, but right at this moment, there's not a market for it. So we need to work out what problem does your business solve? Is there a market for it? Are customers going to buy your product or your service? And do you have the capacity to commit to it? The other thing you need to consider is, do you have the patience and the willingness to learn new skills. As a business owner, you are going to be wearing many hats. You're going to be doing so many new tasks that you did not expect to be doing when you started a business. Yeah, we get caught up in the excitement of running a business, which is great. The excitement and the passion is good, but there are also other skills like the accounting, the bookkeeping, the record keeping, the compliance, the insurance registers, dealing with employees, hiring, managing employees, reporting obligations. There's so many obligations and so many extra tasks that you need to do in your business. Often you're wearing 20 to 30 hats. You're the IT guy, you're accounts receivable, you're the sales manager, you're the inventory manager, all of those things. So lots of different skills that you need to learn, or you need to learn how to and who to outsource those skills to. So a lot of thought needs to go into setting up a plan. What is your plan? What is the business going to do? What do you want to realistically achieve in the first couple of years? What structure should you use? And this is where you need to get advice, because we've had too many conversations this last year with business owners that have gone into business setting up the wrong structure. It's been too costly for them, or it's been inflexible, hasn't allowed them to do the things in their business that they thought they were going to do. They didn't get advice at the start, and getting advice to fix that issue later on is a lot more costly. So I encourage you to get advice before you start. Okay, so there are a lot of things about setting up a business. Do some research before you get started, okay? Do some research, but most of all, work out, why are you wanting to start a business? Is it because you have the skills, or you have the ability to deliver a solution, a product that you can make a profit from? If you're only starting a business because you're fed up with your current job, then I don't think that's a great reason for you starting. Be more patient, do some research, and determine, can you start a business that is going to be viable and profitable in the long term? The second thing I'd say is, look, that when we're thinking about what are we going to do for this year ahead, what are we going to do to make 2022 a better year? A lot of people are saying, look, I want a better balance between my work life and my family life, or my own life, my personal time. So how do we achieve that balance? I talk to so many business owners where they're told that they have to commit to being on call, available for their customers 24/7. And the problem with that is that once you're on call 24/7, you're not spending the time with your kids. You're not spending the time with your family. Okay, you've always got those business issues looming. They're always there. So, you know, a lot of people go into business as well because they want to achieve something that gives them freedom, you know, more time to do the things that they want to do, more financial freedom, not less. But a lot of businesses are structured so that they are, you know, encroaching on that family time. They're reducing those freedoms. They're actually restricting you. So what we need to do is work out, what can we do in our business to free up our time, to put some barriers between our work life and our home life, or our family life? And look, the working from home, I guess, phenomena that we've been experiencing this past couple of years is really making that more difficult. We're seeing a lot of expectation that you are on call because you're working from home. You are on call for your customers 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You need to set some boundaries in place. You need to be very clear about when you are open for business and not. And look at ways of automating responses. So if you get a response outside of business hours, you know, automatic response, hey, well, thanks for your inquiry, we'll be in contact with you when we open in the morning, or something along that line. Maybe not so simple. You can spend a bit of time wording it a lot better. But, you know, you don't need to be a captive to your business. You can design systems and processes to automate how things are done in your business to free up time. There are a lot of ways of automating the functions in your business from a day to day to save time. Look, you can do things like using expense management software like Dext or Hubdoc to help reduce time entering expenses, capturing, doing all your filing, your paperwork. You know, use those tools that are available. Use the tools for quoting and proposals. I remember working with a client that spent 10 hours a day on the doing roofing repairs and insurance work, and he'd go and he'd do the inspections and quote, and then he'd go home and do the quotes. So he'd spend another 3 to 4 hours at night doing quotes. So we changed that process where he was actually able to, by using the right tools, the right technology, do the quote while he was on the roof. Basically prepare all the documentation, have all these standard costings and prices. When he climbed down the ladder, he was able to finish the quote, give it to the customer on the spot. Okay. And a couple of things happened. He freed up those 4 hours a night. He also got a higher level of acceptance from his customers because he was able to give them the quote on the spot. So he got a higher conversion in his sales. Now, and that's a way of looking at, you know, what are your processes? Are they helping you to run your business more efficiently to free up time? If there's a solution that's available, it might be worth investing in, you know, the monthly fee or the cost of doing that, rather than investing the time in recreating something that's not going to work as well, okay, that you're going to have to keep investing time in. So, you know, look at the solutions that are out there. What can you do to improve the way you're running your business to give you more time for the things that really matter? Okay, one of the things that really is important is running your business profitably. Okay, yeah, there are a lot of business owners don't make profits consistently. Now, I think it's only about 39% of business owners actually make a profit every year. And that's a very low percentage. That means a lot of businesses are not running their business for profit. They're not running it efficiently. So we often focus on growing sales, but we don't think about growing profit, because they're two different things. There used to be a saying that any sale is a good sale. And then it was a saying that any sale is a good sale as long as we make a profit. So we need to understand, what do we need to price our products at to make a profit? Or which customers, if particularly if we're in a service business, do we need to focus on that are the most profitable? Because not all customers are good customers. Not all sales are good sales. So we need to grow profits. There's no point growing sales if we're not growing profit at the same time. That's a big waste of your time, your energy, your resources. And one of the biggest traps we fall into is discounting to grow sales. Okay, if you're discounting to grow sales, what you're doing is you're growing that short-term one-off customer that is looking for the bargain. That's not necessarily the right type of customer. You want to sell to a customer that's going to come back to you. You're not wanting the customer that's chasing discounts. You want the good quality customers, because the people that benefit from discounting are the customers. Okay, because you as the seller, if you're discounting your prices, then you're lowering your profit margin. You're not making a profit. It's harder for you to stay in business. So often people who discount heavily to chase those sales make very small margins. And when sales dry up, they're quickly the ones that are out of business. And you don't want to be in that position. So we need to plan how we're going to grow our sales profitably. We need to make that decision right now to say, hey, I'm going to stop selling products that I don't make a profit on. I'm going to stop selling to customers that are not profitable. You know, if you're a service business, you're going to have those customers that spend way too much time to get to the same outcome. Okay, the ones that want the hour meeting when a 5-minute conversation will do, the ones that want rework when, you know, you agreed on a particular service. So you need to decide which customers, which products are profitable, and stop selling products that aren't profitable. Stop servicing customers that don't provide a profit. Get rid of them. Okay, because at the end of the day, you're the one losing. You're the one not making a profit. Okay, you're the one that misses out. Okay, there's a talk about having lost leaders to lead into a higher value sale, but have a close look. What lost leaders are there? Are they actually converting to those higher sales? If they're not, stop doing it. Price your products appropriately. And that's where you need to get very familiar with your profits, with which products are actually you're selling at a profit, what are they cost? Okay, so have a closer look at your profitability. Have a closer look at who you're selling to, where are you making profits, and focus on those sales, not discounting, not trying to grow at the expense with higher costs. Yeah, what's the cost of you acquiring a new customer? You know, Google ads and Facebook ads and that are very, very popular. And when people are saying that they're growing their business through using those tools, but we had a look at ours and we looked at, you know, which areas of the marketing activities that we do actually generate profit by attracting the right kind of customers. And when we did that, we stopped doing certain marketing activities. We cut off certain expenditures. Okay, so we reduced our costs, but we focused on the areas where we're going to generate the most profit. And so that's what we need to do. Focus on the areas, identify them, where you're going to make the most profit, and focus on that. Focus your activities on the profitable areas. Okay, so at this time, 2022 is starting. You're relaxing. You're probably thinking about, okay, or dreading going back to your business. If you're a business owner and you're actually having a holiday, well, first thing is congratulations, because a lot of business owners don't get a holiday from their business. Okay, they're too caught up in their business. So if you're on holidays, great. Or if you're just having a bit of time between Christmas, New Year, January, before things start winding up again in 2022, use this time to think about how you can run a better quality business, how you can run a smoother running business so that when you are not there, the business still operates. You continue to have a business that operates profitably when you're not there. Now, a lot of the time, the problem is that you as the business owner, or me as the business owner, we don't like to let go of the decision-making process, and we hold too much of that in our own heads. We hold on to too much. The problem is, every decision then relies on us, relies on you as the business owner to make that decision. So when you're not there, what happens? Nothing. People can't make decisions. They don't have the authority. They don't have the process. They don't know how to make a decision. So the sale isn't made when you're not there. The problem with the customer is not resolved when you're not there. The decision to order stock is not made because you're not there. So the problem is, if you take yourself out of the business doesn't operate. Therefore, if you cannot afford to be away from your business, you cannot afford to have the time off. You cannot afford to have a break. You cannot afford to have those financial and family freedoms, the time freedoms that are probably the reasons you went into business to start with. So we need to look at how we can create a smooth running business that operates when you're not there. And that's what we need to look at, our systems and processes. Now, on the Business Behind Your Business podcast, we've Mitch Kenny from Mouse and SafeRight about business processes and policies, okay, and how easy they are to implement, particularly when you use some ready design templates as a starting point. Get started. Create a system. Document it. And let your employees know what the process is. Some of the best run businesses, or the most profitable, have really good systems that people can follow. And they follow them. Yeah, they follow them. And they follow to the letter of what that system is. And the systems work. And when they don't work, the system is fixed so that it does work. It's corrected. And the solution is that the business owner is not required to be there. So you can have a business that runs when you're not there. And that's a great outcome. Okay, so we need to have a look at how we're doing things. And if we're holding on to too much of the decision-making, if too much relies on us, what can you let go of? What can somebody else do in your business? So, you know, we looked at, you know, does the business run without you? If it doesn't run without you, then you're going to have a problem with our next thing. And look, this is something that a lot of people think of, and a lot of people are thinking of it at the moment because of the uncertainty and the disruption we've had in the past 2 years with COVID and the change in how business operates. And that is, how do you exit from your business? How do you get your business ready for sale? Okay. Can you actually exit from your business and be able to get a good sale price for it? Now, a lot of business owners come to the point of selling the business, and two things happen. The first thing is nobody wants to buy their business. Nobody wants to buy their business. And the second thing is linked to that, the price that they are able to get for their business, or that somebody is willing to pay for their business, is a lot lower than what they expected or what they need to retire on or to exit from their business with. A lot of that is linked back to too much of the business depends on them. Okay. When we take the business owner out of the business, when we take you out of your business, if there is nothing left, okay, yeah, if nothing operates without you being there, then you don't have a business. All you have is a job where you are the key person, the critical person, and nothing will happen without you. So you need to spend the time working on your processes, your systems. Have a business that works without you. You know, create processes, create the authority in your employees to act, to make those decisions within strict guidelines, within a documented process and levels of authority, but your business can operate without you being there. When you create a business that operates without you being there, it is an independent business. It is separate to you and it's able to be sold. So a lot of business owners get to the point where they're ready to exit from their business, ready to sell, and they can't because it's too much of it is tied up with them. So start thinking about, well, if I'm going to be looking to exit from my business in 3 to 5 years' time, what do I need to do to change? Do I need to take myself out of the business? How do I do that? I need to have processes and systems in place. I need to have a business that operates when I'm not there. So I need to have my employees knowing what to do. I need to have the processes there. I need to have automated sales systems in place so that the business can operate without me having to be there. I have a business that I can sell or exit from when I need to. So how do we get that in place? And look, the best time to start planning for your sale of your business or the exit from your business is when you start. Most business owners don't do that or didn't do that. So the next best time to start is now. The reality of it is you will exit from your business at some point, whether that's voluntarily on your terms or involuntarily, okay? And we want to make it a voluntary exit on your terms at a good price that's going to set you up for your next phase, whether that's retirement or moving to the next business that you want to start. So start thinking about what you need to do to get your business ready so that when you want to sell or need to sell, you can at a good price. So probably the most common area that business owners have trouble with, you know, well, there's three main things, three big issues that we always come across, and that is sales, employees, and the big one is cash flow. Okay, fixing cash flow problems. Okay, when you're losing money or when cash is tight, causes a lot of stress on you as the owner, causes a lot of stress on your business. And yeah, it really affects the ability of your business to grow, to be profitable, and survive in the long term. Okay, and we've seen a lot of issues with cash flow, no sales, no cash coming in, people can't afford to pay, and that's where the governments have had to step in recently with government assistance and funding and programs, grants, and incentives. But they're a short-term fix. They're like a band-aid solution. They're not fixing the underlying problem. Okay, they might stem the leakages of your cash flow in the short term, but you know, it's like having a band-aid on a deep knife wound. Okay, it's not going to stop the bleeding. It's not going to repair the underlying damage. You need to actually get in and fix the issue, fix the real issue. You know, we look at some of the most common reasons why we have cash flow problems, and like things like slow-paying customers. Customers who don't pay end up bankrupt or simply disappear. Okay, and that's where your credit control has to come in. You have to be diligent in making sure your customers pay on time and stop servicing and supplying to customers who don't pay. Put your foot down. Be strong. Don't fund delinquent customers. Don't fund slow-paying customers. You are not a bank. You are not a charity. You're in business to look after your own benefit. You're not there as a charity. You're not there as a bank financing people. You're not there to give handouts. Make sure your customers pay you. Make sure you get paid for your services and your products. That's crucial, absolutely crucial. Next problem with cash flow is the lack of sales. So we need to look at how do we improve sales? How do we improve sales though, but profitably and getting paid? So, you know, any sale's a good sale as long as we make a profit and we're getting paid for it in a good, timely manner. make sure that we're getting sales by increasing sales to our existing customers or increasing sales to the right type of customer, the ones we make a profit from. Other areas we can do is looking at how we actually produce. So reducing things like defective products or having to do rework if you're a service-based industry, reducing that, being very clear about what you're actually going to do, what the scope is. Don't do more than you need to or that you've agreed to, but make sure your systems and processes are designed so that you can do things correctly the first time and deliver a complete product without having to go back and rework. Because once you've agreed on a price, you can't charge extra for that rework. So it's a lost cost and your profit is reduced and your cash flow is impacted because you're not getting more income. You're not getting more cash flow from that extra work, but that extra work comes at a cost. That rework, that defective product comes at a cost. So eliminating defective products or rework will go a long way to improving your cash flow. So improve your cash flow by improving your processes. Improve your supply of product. Look at where that's coming from. If you haven't got product, you can't sell it. And that's something we're seeing a lot of at the moment. So a lot of businesses are having to look at alternative suppliers, alternative supply chains. Okay. If you don't have product, you can't sell. But where's your competitor getting his stock from? Where's your competitor being able to service your customers? How are they doing that? So you need to look outside some of your traditional supply chain to do that, to improve your ability to sell and sell profitably. Okay, so we need to look at what is causing the issue with our cash flow and not look at purely the symptoms or purely looking at quick fixes. Yeah, government grants were great. They addressed an issue short term, but they are short term and they don't fix underlying problems. You need to look at the real reasons your business is bleeding cash and fix those. Work on what's the most important thing that you've got to fix and deal with it now. Don't let it continue. Work on it. Come up with a plan. Implement it. So I guess one of the things is how do we grow our business? How do we grow our business? Okay, the first thing to grow our business is we need more customers. We need to make more sales. So we need more customers. So how do we get them? And this is problem for a lot of businesses. Okay. How do you get more customers? How do you win them? Okay. You know, we spend a lot of time and energy on marketing to new customers. We spend a lot of time and energy marketing new products. But if we're losing customers in the first place, or our customers are not coming back to us, that is an issue. How do we keep our existing customers? How do we sell more to our existing customers? A number of years ago, I was working with a small business that had been in business for probably 20, 30 years, doing refrigeration and commercial air conditioning and, you know, cool rooms. And they had quite a database of customers that they had done the implementation or installation of the cool room and refrigeration for. Problem is they had to keep winning new customers every year. So we had to look at, well, how do we make it easier to keep selling to customers? And the solution for them was that they actually did maintenance and repair work as well. The problem was they didn't follow up at any time their previous customers or existing customers and say to them, hey, you can make sure that your refrigeration, your cooling systems continue to work properly, function at their peak by getting it regularly serviced, and this is when we're going to come and service. Okay, servicing was quite a lucrative area for them, a quite profitable area. They already had the customer that was there that knew how they worked, was happy with their work, but they weren't promoting the servicing and the repair work. So that work was going to a competitor. So the process was, let's go back to those existing customers and let them know, one, that we actually do that maintenance work and service work, and two, be proactive and actually say to them, hey, we can schedule it in for this point. So they were able to grow their profit by an amazing figure over 12 months just by doing that one thing of approaching their previous customers and saying to them, hey, we do this work. Did you not know that we do this work? We do this work. And we can do it for you on this basis. We understand the system because we installed it. So it makes sense for us to service it for you as well. And it was a profitable area for them, and they grew their profit. And I think in that time, they grew their profit an amazing amount. I think they went from a very small profit of $10,000 to $70,000 the next year, which for them was a huge amount back in those days. So look at how can you retain your customers? How can you sell more to your existing customers? And this is where your CRM or your customer relationship management systems come in place. How do you keep in contact with them? And there are tools available to help you do that. Yeah, we've heard of HubSpot and ActiveCampaign and or even MailChimp as a very basic level can do that. You can communicate to your customers. Yeah, we're focusing on social media, but you know, your CRM systems and that quite well, you know, that they are designed to help you communicate with your customers. So you go into business to get freedom. A lot of people start their business for freedom because they want to achieve something. They want to have the ability to take time off. Okay. You want to have that business supporting you, not controlling you. Okay. So, yeah, businesses take up a lot of energy. Okay. And if you're spending more time than you should, that has an emotional effect. It has an effect on your mental ability, your health. How can you, you know, take back control of your business? How can you take back power? And often the problem is that you're so entrenched in your business that you don't see the issues. You can't see the issues. And for a lot of small, medium businesses that are family owned, one of the problems we have is that they are so entrenched, they can't see the difference, but they don't want to talk to spouse. They don't want to talk to family members because that's an admission of a problem, or it might be causing some conflict. The business itself might be the conflict. So they're not going to get a resolution or help in seeing the problem, or they may not want to see the problem when it's addressed by or raised by their spouse. And this is where getting some outside help, an outside assessment of your business, yeah, what we call like a health check. Yeah, you go to a doctor to find out what is, you know, how healthy you are. You know, do you have issues? Do you have heart problems? Do you have blood pressure problems? You know, are you in a healthy state? What do you need to work on? What do you need to address? And your business is the same. You know, you need to get some unbiased help. You need to get advice from somebody who is a professional, somebody, you know, an accountant, business advisor that understands the issues with your business. It can help. They can see them quicker than you can, and they can give you not just an assessment and say, hey, this is an issue. I can see this developing. This is going to cause you problems later on. They can give you a plan and help you actually identify what you need to do and fix that. Yeah, take those steps. Okay, it could be something like you've got the wrong business structure, you've got the wrong team in there, you need extra employees, you've got the wrong kind of finance for your cash flow, you're not doing any marketing, or you're marketing to the wrong type of customer. You know, how do you stack up against your competitors? How do you benchmark? You know, they will be in a position to advise you on that. Okay, and somebody independent outside of your business giving you an assessment of what you need to do to fix your business. Okay, because we get so entrenched in what we're doing, we can't see the issues. We are actually part of the issue, or you are part of the issue. So we need to actually take a step back, get some unbiased help, some independent help, independent assessment, and say, hey, these are the good things with your business. These are the things that need work. And this is a plan, or these are the things you should be planning to work on. And this is how we can help. Okay. Don't go it alone. Too many business owners just go it alone, and they don't have the experience or the skills to identify what's going wrong or how they can improve their business, and they get caught up in it. And that's where we see a lot of problems with businesses going out of business because of, you know, it takes its toll. Okay. It takes its toll. Without a clear plan, without a good assessment of what you need to be doing, working on in your business, it can take its toll. And we see a lot of, unfortunately, we see a lot of family issues and marriage breakdowns as a result of business issues. So, yeah, get some independent assessment, get a review of your business done, and take steps to move away from being controlled by your business and take back that freedom. Have that freedom from your business. That's why you went into business to start with. And look, we see a lot of business owners not understand their tax obligations, and that's one thing you need to be aware of right from the beginning. Be aware of what your tax obligations are. Make sure that you actually understand what you've got to do. Make sure you comply with lodging on time, lodging correctly, and understand what payments you are obliged to make in terms of income taxes, goods and services tax, any other taxes and levies that are applying, superannuation guarantee for your employees, payroll taxes. Make sure that you're aware of the obligations you have and put in place systems to make sure that you're lodging on time, lodging correctly, and that you have the cash available to make those payments on time. Now, a lot of businesses that don't meet these requirements, it's a symptom of not having efficient processes, accurate financial information, not having the systems in place, and not actually understanding right from the beginning what your obligations are. Yeah, once you get into a situation of having the taxation office chasing you for overdue lodgements and unpaid, that's when we start to have more problems. And that will affect your cash flow because you're going to have to come up with overdue taxes and in lump sums. And that will also affect, because the ATO will report non-payment of taxes against your credit ratings, your credit history. And that's going to limit your ability to borrow. So it is a bit of a spiral. So we need to address that. So if you've got an issue now, then speak to your accountant, speak to your tax agent about how you can get on top of this process, how you can get on top of your lodgement obligations and your payment obligations. But make sure you do it now. Don't let it run away. Get on top of it. Be proactive with it. It's something that is essential for every business. You must be on top of your taxation and regulatory obligations. Our last tip for today, our last tip for this episode is looking at your superannuation or your retirement benefits. Most business owners neglect their own superannuation. They don't contribute to super. I'm going to talk to Jim Mills on the Business Behind Your Business podcast about this whole thing, about why business owners don't provide for their own retirement. They don't look after themselves. They rely on selling their business. And as I've already said, not all businesses can be sold at a profit. Not all businesses can be sold for the value that you need. So you need to start building up a retirement fund or independent investments outside of your business and use the profits from your business to fund your retirement. In a way, treat yourself like an employee and make sure you pay yourself, make sure you pay contributions into superannuation and your retirement savings. Okay, because at the end of the day, when you get to that point where you need it and you haven't been contributing, it's very hard to catch up. Compound interest, benefits of, investment returns compound over time. So a small amount now will build up and be a much greater amount when you do need it in retirement. So I've looked at 10 ideas or 10 things to think about that you can, use to grow, move forward with your business while you're having some downtime. Hopefully you are getting some downtime and thinking about your business, but here is 10 action items, 10 things to think about that you can move forward and run a more profitable business and grow your investments, create a lifestyle for yourself where you're in control and you're not being controlled by your business, that you've got satisfaction from what you're doing. So it's about helping you run a great business. There was 10 ideas on what we can do to improve your business, or 10 things to look at and say, what can we do better? Yeah. So we want you to grow a great business. It starts with you. Starts with identifying what you need to do, making a plan and acting on it, and encourage you to do that. So let us know in the comments and give us your feedback at podcast@thebusinessbehindyourbusiness.com on what you have found helpful, what things you're looking to put in place. And look, we hope that 2022 is going to be a great year for every business owner. Thanks for listening. Do you have a question you'd like our team of experts to answer? If you do, send your question to podcast@thebusinessbehindyourbusiness.com. To hear more from The Business Behind Your Business, don't forget to subscribe using your favourite podcast player. Or you can visit the businessbehindyourbusiness.com website.